from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. That over there is James Hamm. This right here is Kyle Madsen. The NFL draft begins tonight. Coverage starts right here on ESPN 1320 at 4 o'clock. That's first round coverage, but we will also have day two coverage. That's rounds two and three. We'll have day three coverage. That's rounds four through seven. 4 o'clock today, 4 o'clock tomorrow, 9 a.m. Saturday is when coverage begins right here on ESPN 1320. The Raiders pick 13th tonight. The 49ers slated to pick 31st. And we've been talking about that pretty much all day. We will also have $500 to give you, or a chance to win $500, I should say. I don't have $500 to give away, but we jacked some of our boss's money, and we're giving it away to you in $500 increments. You'll go to ESPN1320.com, and you'll enter a code word that we will give you shortly, and then you'll be entered for a chance to win $500. So, this is really interesting because we got NFL draft stuff coming up. But then once the dust settles on that, we will be fully into the NBA draft. And I think it's so interesting how different draft picks and the draft in general is viewed between the two leagues. Because in the NFL, typically, when you get to keep your pick in the first round, it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the NBA, we're like, man, because of the way that trades work and the trade rules and the strength of the draft and the lottery, and we're looking at the Kings having their pick like, oof, like, dang, maybe they can find somebody at 14. But whereas in the NFL, it's like 14th pick, nice.
Yeah.
We'll take the 14th pick. That's a valuable asset.
Oh, no, totally.
It's so weird. And I know that part of it is because of the number of players on the team and the number of picks there are total in the draft. Like, I understand the differences there. But just the way teams build via the draft in the NBA and the NFL is just so different.
Yeah, and I would tell you, too, like, we didn't get time to digest Imani McNair, his press conference yesterday. It, like, ran after, like, through the end of our show. Mm-hmm. I thought Monty was like super honest about that, which I was surprised. Like, he was really wishing they had given away their pick. Mm. Like, he was like, yeah, unfortunately we have our pick. And I was like, whoa.
That's so wild.
They are, as of right now, they have the 13th highest odds because they won the coin flip with the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was interesting to hear him say that because it's something that I've been saying the whole time. But like, they really, really should have wanted that pick to go away. Mm-hmm. So then that way, you know, they get to reset. And this draft, I don't know why it's not this way in the NFL. Well, I do know why it's not this way in the NFL. The NFL football is different than any other sport, right? So with baseball, with soccer, with basketball, there is so much tied up into year-round play, right?
Yeah.
So when it comes to baseball, there's, you know, again, there's travel ball, the same with soccer. And then there's all these AAU tournaments and all this stuff for basketball. The NFL, like when they're drafting players, number one, you can't be drafted until what, you're a junior, right?
So 3 years removed from high school, yeah.
So you're a little older. Mm-hmm. Plus, you may or may not have a ton of mileage on you because, again, you can do camps and you can do all that stuff, but like with shoulder pads, with helmets, it's very limited. Mm-hmm. You only play high school games. You don't go play on some circuit where,
right?
You know, again, my son got done with like playing soccer 18. He played like 400 or 500 games at that point of soccer. Like that many, right?
That's a lot of games.
And so there's always something happening. Every weekend there's a tournament, you know, and how many practices and all that stuff. That's not the way it is with the NFL. So I think the NFL has been able to, I'm getting to a point here, they've been able to get through the COVID generation. They lost a lot of their masses, right, in the COVID era, like at the high school level and even, you know, going into college. But I think that kind of even like thin the herd, like you get the strongest moving forward, right? Where a lot of the other sports were hit so hard by COVID because there was a lack of games being played. They're so used to kids at the AAU level playing, you know, again, 60, 70 games a season. And you get to, you know, like, again, a high school football season, if you're lucky, you play 13 or 14 games. Again, soccer, you get to a high school season, they might play 15, 20 games in the high school level. But a lot of those kids are playing 60 games, 70 games a year outside of that.
Yeah.
And so all of this development is lost on some of these other sports where I don't think it is on the NFL. That's why I look at this draft. This is one of the first, like, true, I believe, COVID drafts. 19, 20, 21-year-old kids who lost years of AAU basketball because of the pandemic.
That's really interesting.
And so I do think that that's where the NFL has like a major up on all of these, but also like we're going to see a struggle. There might be top-tier talent, and then other drafts there might not be top-tier talent, and you're kind of wading through to see how it all develops. But, you know, what are you supposed to do with a six-year senior who's played basketball forever at the NCAA level and he's like 24 coming into the league?
Yeah,
you ignore him. That's what most NBA teams are going to do. And so I just think it's a weird dynamic that probably isn't discussed nearly enough, just how much the pandemic will impact this generation right here, this like 4 or 5 year window.
Just to illustrate that a little bit, two things. One, it trips me out that players in this year's NFL draft were in high school for the pandemic. That freaks me out, bro.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, here's these Cooper DeJean basketball highlights from high school. And there's like people wearing masks. I'm like, oh my God.
Players wearing masks.
It's crazy. But just to further illustrate your point. So the 2020 season was ostensibly lost in college football.
Yeah.
I think one of the players who really impacted, I think, was Trey Lance, who went third overall in that year's draft. But that 2021 draft in the NFL, Trevor Lawrence, good player. Kyle Pitts, good player. Ja'Marr Chase, good player. I'm going to name the good players just in the first round. Jalen Waddle, Penei Sewell. J.C. Horn's had some injury stuff. Patrick Surtain, Devontae Smith, Micah Parsons, Rashawn Slater, Elijah Vera Tucker, Mac Jones. Where else are we at? Jalen Phillips, good player. We're getting into the end of the first round here. Najee Harris is good, if not a little overrated. Shout out to the 925. Travis Etienne, good player. Greg Newsom, the second, good player. Gregory Rousseau, good player. Like, there's just, and this is in the first round after a season where the college football season got disjointed and shortened or lost entirely. And the NFL just blown past it.
Yeah.
There has been no drop off in quality. There has been no bad drafts, quote unquote, because of the pandemic. It's just rolled right along. Whereas the NBA, like you said, they're still dealing with.
We're hitting it right now. Yeah. Like we're hitting it. Yeah. Like where it's crazy, and you're seeing, because this is the group of kids right now that lost their junior and senior year in high school.
Yeah,
I know, because I have a 20-year-old.
Yeah, right.
Who lost his junior and senior sure. year in high school.
Yeah,
this is that group.
Yeah.
And you know, that had all the wonkiness and all the craziness where they literally didn't even go to school, let alone go play in AAU tournaments every single weekend.
Yeah.
And so I think it's going to be a really, really interesting. Like, I don't think it'll be a long-term thing. It'll be like a 2 or 3 year window.
Sure.
And then we'll be ramped right up. And there might be some great kids that are coming up there, just like they're able to get right through this. But I also think that there are kids that are left behind. And there's also, there's talent that just quit playing sports.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are a lot of kids who just quit playing sports because of the pandemic. So we might be missing out on, you know, 4 or 5 legitimate NBA players who do not play basketball anymore.
That's
because it just went away, and they're like, they moved on to other things. They're out there playing nuts, Fortnite dude. Still.
That's that's so wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. What was I going to say? You were talking about losing junior and senior. Oh yeah, in the NBA too. And this is a big difference between the two leagues and the two drafts. Is in the NBA, when you're a top pick, you are like, hey, single-handedly save us. There is Cade Cunningham, fix the Pistons.
Yeah.
And in the NFL, it's like, Trevor Lawrence, fix the Jags. But there's an understanding of, there's a long team building process that goes into this. Whereas in the NFL or in the NBA, you're like, hey man, if you're a top pick, you got to go out and produce right away. Maybe not at an MVP level, but that runway for development is not quite the same for every player.
I would even say this, like the way the NFL draft, comparing the NBA and the NFL draft, let's say the top 5 picks of the NBA, that's like the top 15 in the NFL.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And then from 15 in the NFL until, let's say, the end of the third round is really the next group of players, which is 6 through like 15.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the NBA, like the fourth round is probably like 15 to 22. The fifth round is probably 22 to 30. The sixth and seventh round is the second round of the NBA draft.
Yeah. Like, that's a great point.
Maybe you mine for gold. Maybe you find something there.
Yeah, sure.
And you can find something great. I mean, like Brock Purdy, you can find something great.
No doubt.
And even, you know, like
Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, or Nikola Jokic, second round pick.
Yeah, yeah.
Draymond Green, second round pick. Mm-hmm. Chris Middleton, second round pick. There are greatness
right,
hiding
it's there
right?
for sure.
But you have to be really, really good. And you're going to swing and miss more than you're going to hit. And we talked about it before the show. There was that stat yesterday that I think it's only 4 teams own their own second round,
insane.
Control their
insane.
Own second round pick in this year's NBA draft.
Totally insane.
It's wild. And next year it's like 7. It's crazy.
And the opportunities are just more for NFL players too.
Oh yeah.
Like if you're a 5th round pick or above, chances are you're making the team right away.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the NBA, like if you're a late second round pick, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, there's just so much more opportunity for teams to hit because there's so many more picks. So I think it's fascinating. We'll continue talking NBA draft. We'll sprinkle in some Kings here as well. And we'll give away $500. And I have a big life question as well.
Oh.
That has nothing to do with anything. But it has to do with our $500 giveaway.
Oh.
Which we'll be doing at ESPN1320.com. I got a big time question next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
Scotty Barnes.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
NFL Draft, Sacramento Kings future. That's what we're doing today and what we'll probably also be doing tomorrow. FYI, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We are the Insiders, D'Lo and KC, coming up at noon. They will be hanging out with you until 4. You want to give away $500?
Let's do it.
All right, let's give away $500. We're going to do that right now. Head to ESPN1320.com. This is part of the Nothing But Net $500 giveaway. 2 more chances today to win $500. You'll have 2 chances tomorrow, and then it's done. Then we're out of money. But your chance to win today, head to ESPN1320.com right now and enter the keyword forward. Forward. Like the basketball position in general. Small forward, power forward. Hockey, you got a forward.
Combo forward.
Combo forward. Sure.
All right.
Moving forward.
All right. Trying to think of more things to go with forward.
Yeah. No, there. I know there's a...
Softly forward of you, Kyle.
Thanks, yeah. There was... I was trying to make a joke, like, four words. Like, four as in the number four and then words.
Oh,
but it's not coming to me. It's fine.
No.
It's probably better that it didn't.
Probably not.
Want to announce our winner from yesterday, Wednesday's winner. A huge shout out to Gerald. Jerry M. from West Sac was our big winner of $500 yesterday. I have a question, though. And I've confirmed with promotions, because they have a very strenuous process of confirming winners, this and that. They don't just...
No, there's a legal team that's hiding behind. Yeah.
They are deep in this. This is the second person named Gerald that has won.
In a row?
Not in a row.
Okay. Just overall.
Gerald was, the other Gerald was, I believe, last week. The second Gerald who's won. I did not know there were any Geralds in the world. Are there? It turns out, I know one Gerald.
Okay.
Is my buddy who I knew in college.
Well, we had Gerald Wallace with the Kings.
Gerald Wallace. I don't know him, though.
Okay.
But I just didn't know that people were named Gerald, and it turns out there's two that listen to this very show. Or maybe D'Lo and KC only.
Oh, it's possible.
Yeah, because D'Lo and KC giving out keywords as well. Today's keyword, forward, to try and win $500 at ESPN1320.com. I just had no idea that there were... I thought Gerald was one of those names. It's like, oh yeah, if you're named Gerald, nothing wrong with the name. I have no beef with the name Gerald. It's a fine name.
Yeah.
Jerry. Jerbear. Gary. If you want, I guess.
Okay.
If you want to.
I told you my best friend's dad's name was Gerald, but
he
went by Bud.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I would have gone by Bud as
like
well.
That has to be like a family nickname.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I had no idea.
Huh.
I didn't know that there were just people walking around named Gerald still. I want to bring back old names. I want to meet like an Aloysius.
Yeah. I don't
or like
know.
A Cornelius. I'd love to know a Cornelius.
I would love to see like a 5-year-old running around and someone say, hey, Barbara, come here.
Dude, right? Barbara's a great one.
Yeah. Hey, Barb.
Barb is such a good... Right, but Barb is definitely one of those names that you associate. But Barb's a fine name.
Yeah.
Barbara. Great.
It's funny
but
how...
But I feel like I don't know any Barbaras under the age of like 50.
Oh, yeah. No. No, it's a name
I'd make sure we didn't work with somebody named Barb.
Yeah, just kind of like, wait... I know one time when I was working in the Bay Area, I had a lady yell at her child repeatedly because she was angry with her child, and she just kept yelling cliche, and I just thought to myself, really? You named your child cliche? Like, really?
Oh, that's incredible. There's a guy, it's when I worked at Sports Chalet, RIP, we'll take you to the limit. when I worked at Sports Chalet, his kid's name was Champion.
Oh, wow.
What an incredible name.
Yeah, but see,
you can go by Champ? That's great.
My son has a bunch of kids with weird names.
Buster Posey's first name is Gerald. Thank you, Ramsey.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my son, my 16-year-old, a lot of kids in his class have weird. There's like a Gunner.
Say weird.
There's a kid named...
Said weird.
Well, I mean, it just stands out. Like, wait, what's his name? Or
Gunner.
Kale. There's a kid named Kale. Kale's a nice kid. I like Kale.
Like, as in K-A-L-E?
Yes. Yeah, they're... I'm just telling you, they're like, he comes up, he says a name, and I'm like, that's really not
it's gotta
a name.
Be, see, no,
that's not a name. And they go, yeah, it's a name.
Are you sure it's spelled that way? It's not C-A-L-E?
No, it's I believe. Well, I don't know.
Interesting. Isn't that a weird name, though? I don't think so.
I don't know.
I just had no... I
it's
just
unique.
I thought... That's what... I thought all the new names, I thought were, like, different. Like... Braxton and Braden and
well, see my youngest is Braden.
Right, that's a name that I associate with younger people.
Yeah, this generation. My oldest is Toby, but his real name is Tobin, T-O-B-I-N.
Hmm.
Named after one of my buddies.
Tobin. I'm trying to decide if Tobin is a new name or an old name. I think that's a new name.
He was named after Tobin Rote, the quarterback from the 40s.
Then it's an old name.
Yeah. So, but I like it because it can be like when you're young, you can be Toby. And when you're more distinguished, you can go by Tobin.
Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah, yeah.
That's very good. Yeah, I was so shook when I was like, are you sure that's the name? It's Gerald again. They're like, she's like,
Gerald,
yep.
Again.
Jackie, our tremendous promotions person, was like, yeah, different Gerald.
It's wild. Who knew? Two Geralds in the Sacramento region.
I now I don't have a child, but if I did, I really want to give it an old person name now.
Oh, okay.
Like, nothing wrong. Gary, great name. A baby named Gary is so funny. It's so funny.
His name is Gary. You're lying to me.
That's a bald ass baby named Gary.
Get
out of here.
That's not, his name isn't Gary. Come on. Yeah. His name is Star-Lord or something wild.
Someone said Ichabod.
Ichabod. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, so I am not him. Geraldine.
That's my grandma's name.
Geraldine.
Was Geraldine.
Is about what I expect. But yeah. If you're like, this is my baby, Geraldine. Like, yeah.
That's weird.
Although it wouldn't shock me if we saw a comeback of like older names. Just with the way this generation feels about nostalgia and Taylor Swift and her like woodsy type of stuff, like Folklore and Evermore. Like this hearkening back to a different time.
Okay.
I feel like we could see an influx of a redux on names that we thought maybe perished in the 50s.
Okay. I mean,
I hope so.
My name is kind of like, your Kyle is a name that there are a lot of people around your age with the name Kyle.
Right, and we are all the worst.
And my wife is Sarah, but like that era, there's a lot of Sarahs.
Okay.
And then like I have kind of like the universal, just like it lives on forever name.
Right,
like,
James has been a top five name of all time ever.
Yeah, and then everyone.
Have you ever gone by Jim? Can I call you Jim?
No. There's this backstory there I can tell you off the air, but yeah. Like, but it's funny because anyone over the age of like 70 just calls me Jim. Hey, Jim. It's like, yeah, it's James. Yeah. Amazing.
I'm trying to decide. If you're genuinely against it, I won't do the bit, but fine.
Against being called Jim?
Yeah. If you can't tell the story on air, it's okay. Warren said, imagine going through life with the name Warren. Warren's a fine name.
Well, until There's Something About Mary came around.
What's wrong with Warren from that movie?
You don't remember? Like,
I only saw it once.
Is that my baseball? That's Warren. So I could see Warren like getting picked on as a child.
So. Somebody asked, this is the last thing on this. Aldrin J said, hey Kyle, do people say South Park jokes to you because your name? Every single time I meet anyone ever, every single person I've met since I was 9 years old.
Yep.
When I go, I'm Kyle, and they go, can. Every single, every single time. Every time. It is 2024. South Park's been on for 30 freaking years. And I was like, you can't. Like, there are more Kyles. There are more ways to say. I used to not care because I used to not notice. And then I went to college. And you're like, oh, Kyle from South Park. And then people think it's okay to say the mean things to me that Cartman says to Kyle. Like, you don't get to do that. I don't know you.
I know the one time I started singing the one song, you did not like that.
Yeah, no, we don't do that here. No, we don't do that here. It's just like, bro, I've heard it all. I'm not like.
We just blew an entire segment on names.
That's fine.
Shout out to Gerald.
We love Gerald. He was our $500 winner. And you could be next. But only if your name is Gerald. I'm joking. Anybody. Any name can win. ESPN1320.com. Enter the code word FORWARD at the Nothing But Net giveaway for your chance to win $500. D'Lo and Casey will have a keyword for you coming up during their show as well. So stay locked in if you want to give yourself another chance to win $500. The NBA postseason has rolled along without the Sacramento Kings. We will talk about what we've learned from the postseason. And then we're going to try and change the vibe around the Kings a little bit. I feel like the conversation's been a little down, been a little somber. It wasn't all bad this year. We're going to talk silver linings as well. That's all coming up in the final segment on ESPN 1320. Sacramento Sports. Later.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jiffy Lube is what I'm calling it.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
He's James, I'm Kyle. Look. What?
Just over there spraying the hotkeys all day long.
Yeah, dude, you got 20 sprays per day.
I'm a dog.
That's what we're looking for. De'Aaron Fox, new shoe out?
Yeah, De'Aaron Fox nice. Is coming out. Yeah, I like it.
Let me go find it.
Yeah. Let me see. What do I got? Everyone out there, it's the Under Armour Phantom 1. Yeah, pretty slick.
All right, Phantom 1 is what I'm searching for?
Yeah, Phantom 1. It is...
First of all, the De'Aaron Fox logo just by itself is extremely fire.
Oh, it is. It's very nice. Yeah, the Phantom 1...
One, like the number one? What am I searching for?
Yeah,
O-N-E?
Yeah, like number one, I believe.
Phantom 1? Is
yeah.
it a space? Why can't...
It's just the number one, like.
I'm just, you know what? I'm De'Aaron Fox shoe.
Yes. Okay.
That's what I'm gonna search.
No, I'm gonna check it out. Like, but it looks pretty cool. He does have.
There is nothing about this on Twitter that I can find.
Really?
Who's tweeting about it?
Well, I'm just looking at press releases in my inbox. It's, you know.
Oh, it's a press, dude.
Well, no, but I think it's out. I don't know.
Scouring Twitter, and you're like, oh yeah, no, somebody emailed it to me.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, but I mean, I think it's out there. Like, maybe I'm crazy.
Yeah.
I'll look.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
By the time the show's over and I have time to actually search for these things, I'm sure it'll be out on the internet. We'll talk about the NBA playoffs a little bit, but it feels like we've been a little bit, I don't want to say doom and gloom on the Kings, because to me, doom and gloom is used in a context of when things are good, but somebody's just being a negative Nancy to be a negative Nancy.
Okay.
Or a negative Nick. I don't want to disparage
Nancy.
The name Nancy. An old name, by the way.
An old name.
Yeah. I don't want to, it's not that we've been doom and gloom about the Kings. It's just been, the mood's been a little bit somber. A year didn't go how the team wanted it to. Malik Monk might be leaving. There's just kind of a lot of unknowns after a year that fell short of expectations. But that doesn't mean that everything is bad. So I just want to talk about some of the good things from the year, because it feels like we haven't done it.
Okay. It's not like everything is awesome, but...
No, it's definitely not. They have a steep hill to climb.
Yeah.
But this year wasn't a, like... And I don't think anybody thinks this.
It wasn't the end of anything. It wasn't the end of anything. I think that's where I would go. Like, this feels like we're still at the beginning of something. We're still, like, there are so many chapters to be written. This story is not coming to a conclusion where, like, again, with the Golden State Warriors, we're like... We're at the very end.
Yeah, it's been a decade of this.
Yeah, we're in the last chapter of a really long book.
Right. So let's talk about some good stuff that happened for the Kings this year.
Okay.
Keon Ellis being good is a pretty major development.
I think this is one of the better developments that the Kings have had in a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, like, just going back through the history, how many times you see a player like the Isaiah Thomas, you know, where Isaiah Thomas goes from the 60th pick in the draft to, like, a really, really viable player. I remember when Yogi Stewart came out of nowhere, you know, Sacramento high school legend, and then he ends up being this shot blocking crazy, you know, and then he goes on to greener pastures. He goes and gets a big deal from the Toronto Raptors. Like, there aren't these times where you hit in the second round all the time.
Yeah.
And or even like an undrafted guy where you kind of find like a self-made, self-created player. And to me, this, it's something that, like Monty, like growing up in the Houston system,
mm-hmm.
and also Monty being a bridge between like the G League and at one point in his career, mm-hmm. the G League and the main squad, and then from the analytic side to the main squad type stuff. I think that it's important to find these guys. And Houston did such a good job of finding these guys multiple times where you're developing talent at the G League level. You get a player who, you know, you need to get bigger and stronger, but also like, hey, we need you to work on your dribbling. We need you mm-hmm. to work on your ball handling and become more of a facilitator. Like, you can slowly grow a player and then to hit. And like, how many times has this team missed on a first round pick, let alone found a guy in the second round? And the fact that you had him on a second year two way, and then midway through this season, you go, hey, let's bring him up.
Mm-hmm.
That gave you the ability to give him a contract for this year, but two more team options for the next year and the year after at pennies on the dollar. I mean, this guy's going to make like $2 million or less next year and the year after.
Yeah.
And you found what could be a viable starter and, or at least a viable rotational player for mm-hmm. free, for yeah. free completely.
You have brought up finding the Kings' next Doug Christie.
Yeah.
And there was a thought that could be Chris Duarte. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, hey, you look at what Chris Duarte can do defensively. He can knock down a three. Didn't work out this year.
Nope.
Didn't have a great season. But it's like, man, if Keon Ellis became that over the next two or three years, would that shock anybody?
No, I don't think
if
at this
Keon
point.
Keon Ellis was just a reliable, go defend the best perimeter guy and knock down some threes and just do the right stuff on offense.
It's just the player that they needed, right? Mm-hmm. And they need like two more of them.
Yes.
They need a 6'7", 6'8" version and a 6'9", 6'10" version. they sure. do. They need
no,
the
they
same
definitely
thing.
Do. Yeah.
But it's not easy to find these guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think late first round picks, early second round picks, sometimes you can find these guys, sort of the diamond and the rough guys. But a lot of times, you know, teams like the Kings, they miss. And Like, we can talk about the 2017 NBA draft. The Kings missed.
We're not doing negatives.
Again and again and again.
Silver linings, bro.
Oh, silver linings. Okay. Yeah. I mean, but this is a player who gives you everything that you were kind of hoping you could find.
Yes.
And, you know, again, I'll compare him to, like, the Christian Brown or Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, like a young version of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, or even like Bruce Brown. Mm-hmm. Like, these are all players that the Nuggets find. The Nuggets seem to find these guys, but the Kings haven't in the past. And so to find one is like, again, in the 90s, Randy Brown. Like, this is that type of player where you may have stumbled upon something that actually is meaningful to your franchise for the next 10 years.
The next thing, you wrote something down here, and I would like you to read it, and I would like you to explain, because I'm not totally sure I agree, but you wrote about Keegan Murray here, and I would love to know your thoughts on Keegan Murray's season.
I think Keegan Murray did take a leap, but it might not, it wasn't the leap that I think I expected. I think, you know, again, the points, specifically, I thought he would take a bigger jump as far as the score, but the way that he took a leap was to become a better scorer, to average 15 points a game, to like become more versatile as a scorer. But the real improvement we saw from Keegan Murray this year was on the defensive end. And I think, you know, I've seen players redefine their bodies in the past, right? I've talked about this. Jason Thompson is a guy who, like, for all of Jason's flaws as a player, every single summer he came back and look like a different player. Like, if you look at him in his freshman year, I mean, his rookie season, like, his feet face the wrong way when he took a jumper, and size 22. I mean, you can like see it, like his feet were facing the wrong way. The basket's over there. And like, his body was blocky. By the time he was leaving the Kings, he was like this, like 240 pound, like ripped, like ball of muscle that had worked so tirelessly to get better. But we saw Keegan Murray like be able to redefine his body in one offseason. And I thought, like, there are not a lot of players that do that. There are players who get bigger and stronger as time goes on. There's not a player who came into the league who wasn't a great athlete and wasn't a great defender because he's like kind of slow-footed. And then all of a sudden he becomes a great defender and he's no longer getting cooked going to the basket by Steph Curry every play.
Right.
You're like, how in the world did you get from a point where I thought he was more of a four that could play three to a guy who can defend Steph Curry or Donovan Mitchell or name that guard in the league he can defend? That to me is just a tremendous, it's a you know, big shout out to Keegan Murray for doing the work, but also the vision of Dutch Gately and the Sacramento Kings and their group who have brought him along with the training staff to build a player that, again, you know, I didn't think that they could do that with him. I did not think that they could take him from a NBA average defender and make him into a plus or a plus plus defender.
Yeah, I would classify it more as a step than a leap, but I think he did, when you explain it defensively, there was definitely a leap defensively for sure. And I think that there would be a tendency to kind of look at his offensive numbers, particularly what he shot, and go, ooh, like, dang, tough second year. But I don't think that was, I don't necessarily think there's a huge problem there. What I would like to see from Keegan in terms of a leap would be that consistent aggressiveness. Like what we saw against Golden State in the play-in game, like that, but game in and game out for the most part. Like, you're not going to have it every single night, but that's kind of the next leap for me. But you can't get there without the steps he took this year. And the fact that he has become a viable, like, four-position defender, and a really good one, is a pretty significant development. Now we just need to kind of finish off that last step with what he did offensively. But I think that's a really good point on Keegan, because I was with you, man. Watching him play defense last year was like, oh, this guy's just not. Because when they drafted him, I was all in. I was one of my very few good draft takes. I was all in on Keegan.
Okay.
It's like, this is the dude. I don't want Jaden Ivey, all due respect, but Keegan Murray fits. This is what they need. Because I thought he was going to be able to play like really high level defense at minimum. And he did not last year. And then this year, it's like, oh yeah, by the way, got this in my bag.
Oh yeah.
Like, cool.
Like who I became. And look, I I've done this a couple of times where I've compared like Keegan Murray as a rookie, Keegan Murray as a second year player, to the pathway that we saw with De'Aaron Fox, where he goes from, you know, like 12 points to 17 points.
Mm-hmm.
I would also like, Domantas Sabonis came into the league his rookie season. He played 81 games, started 66. He averaged 5.9 points per game, and he averaged 3 rebounds per game, 3.6.
Who's this?
Domantas Sabonis.
Mm-hmm.
As a starter, mm-hmm. he averaged 5.9 points. In his second season, he jumped to 11.6. In his third season, he jumped to 14.1. In his fourth season, he jumped to 18.5. And then in his fifth season, that's the year he got up to 20 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
Keegan is realistically, like, you look at season two of Domas at 11.6, season three at 14.1, season four at 18.5. That's where I see Keegan year one is 11, is where mm-hmm. Domas was in year two.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that 18.5, it's on the table still. It's right there. And that's a natural progression mm-hmm. of a young player, even if he is a little bit older. And that's why I could see him even being maybe a few more points than that in year mm-hmm. two.
Yeah. I hope so.
Year three.
I hope so.
It's Damian Barling, everybody.
Yeah, Damian Barling in the building. I'm sorry we had to pull you out of that meeting. I'm sure you were devastated.
It was a stellar piece of business going on out there.
Yeah, I bet.
Stellar piece of business.
It's the handoff, Damian Barling. In the building with us here on the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, D'Lo and KC, coming up in just a few minutes. We've been talking some NFL draft today, but we've also been talking about, because it felt like so much of the Kings conversation had this like really negative bent, mm-hmm. because it was a disappointing year. You got Malik Monk, who may or may not be staying, and what does it look like going forward? And there's all this, but at the same time, like, a lot of good stuff happened this year.
Yeah,
and that's
what
we're trying to just kind of find some of the silver linings from this year.
Yeah, we were trying to talk about it yesterday. It's my fault. Sorry about the echo, guys. There you go. It was my fault. We had a conversation yesterday about, like, if he made the playoffs and lost to Oklahoma City but finished with like 40 wins, like, how do you feel? Like, you mm-hmm. made the playoffs, but you lost in the first round versus finishing with 46 wins and having that really tough, you know, sixth mm-hmm. loss to New Orleans. And it's not trying to stall the Kings out or cushion anything. It's just trying to bring a different perspective to it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've experienced failures of a season.
Of course.
The bar is moved. And that's the good part about having a good team is De'Aaron Fox, Domantas Sabonis, all pro players, the season Malik Monk had, you know, everything that we believe Keegan Murray is going to be. Even Keegan Murray showed growth. Maybe it's not mm-hmm. what everybody wanted it to be, but like, he showed significant growth.
We're just talking about it, especially on the defensive end. We're just going through it.
Yeah. Absolutely. But people don't find the defensive end as sexy. So he grew on the offensive end too. And it, like, overall, like, it sucks. Team didn't make the watching Oklahoma City and New Orleans is brutal. New Orleans sucks, I guess, against everybody except for Sacramento. It's bizarre. It's the one series happening in the playoffs right now I hate to watch. I hated watching it yesterday. Kind of walk away from those games and like turn it to something else, go back yeah. to it or do something on the computer. Like, I'm not enjoying it whatsoever. And part of it is because this thing of losing to the Oklahoma City Thunder. It sucks that the team's not playing. It sucks what happened to Malik Monk yesterday. It sucks that we're going to be living in uncertainty for the next 2 months as it pertains to Malik Monk. But overall, man, there's still things to be really positive about in terms of the Kings going forward.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the bar is moved now. Like, 46 yeah. wins wasn't a failure.
Yeah.
Missing the playoffs was.
Yeah.
The team, we talked all season about how self-aware this team is. You're aware of your issues. You're aware of your issues against really bad teams. You're aware of your issues at the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
You're aware of your issues closing games. Okay, now fix them.
Mm-hmm.
Address them. Keegan's yeah. going to be here next year. De'Aaron's going to be here. Domas is going to be here next year. A lot of guys who were in Kings uniforms a week ago are going to be in Kings uniforms next year. Address those problems, and hopefully Monty McNair addresses the roster deficiencies that they may have.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit. Like, we didn't get to process the Monty McNair press conference because it was going on during the show, and then as soon as, you know, we transferred to you guys and everything else, so we didn't really get to dive deep. Monty said something that I think a lot of fans took the wrong way, But I don't understand why they took it the wrong way. Monty said, I love 46, that 46 wins and beating Golden State in the playoffs is not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I was totally okay with him saying that. Like, look, this isn't good enough, because what that means is that Monty has found enough success that we're not talking about like 32 wins or 28 wins. Mm-hmm. We're talking about like, hey man, like this isn't, we need you to get on this. You didn't do enough.
Yeah.
Did what you did was not good enough, man.
I feel like I knew exactly what he meant when he said that. Like
I did too.
I felt like it was a reassurance. This isn't
Yeah.
This isn't the, you know, the Kings of 2015. Like,
right,
that's
we're not,
not
just trying to make the playoffs anymore.
Yeah, that's not what we are. Like, we're not great. We're not grading on a curve here.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to take steps to be a championship team. It's what Minnesota did. Mm-hmm. It's what Oklahoma City did. It's what Boston does. It's what Golden State has done. It's what Denver has done. Mm-hmm. They don't take steps to make the playoffs and end the playoff drought and just be a nice little place for Sacramentans to attend.
Sure.
They try to win championships, mm-hmm. and that's what the Sacramento Kings are trying to do.
Yep. Yeah.
Fell short.
Yeah.
Fell well short, mm-hmm. but they've got to, it's not just the guys on the floor that has to be better. It's the puffy vest bros and Monty and Wes Wilcox and that whole team. They've got to be better.
Do you know what dawned on me? Kind of when we were talking about this morning. The Kings have this bar to clear just to get to championship contention, but then you also have to get better than the Nuggets, because it kind of feels like the Nuggets are just going to be around for the next 5 or 6 years as a dominant team in the West.
Sure. They're
they have it. You talk about.
I don't. They're going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to call them dominant.
Why not?
But they're going because I don't have any reason to.
Oh, okay.
I don't think they're a dominant team. I think they're a very good team. And I think when you have conversations about what the Western Conference is going to look like, exactly what you just said, for the next 3 years, I think you're talking about Denver, and then you can put, you know, probably two or three other teams into that conversation.
OKC, yeah.
But Denver's there. I just, mm-hmm. like, it's not like I watch Denver and go, man, no one can beat them. That's not how I feel. Like, I think they're very good. I think Denver's capable of losing to Minnesota. I think they're capable of losing to Oklahoma City. I think they're capable of beating Boston and winning the championship. Like, sure. that's a credit to Denver for being in the conversation, but it's also a credit to the fact that, like, Minnesota's good. Oklahoma City's good. Boston's good. You know, there's good basketball teams out there that there's not a... You know, there's not a Kevin Durant-led Golden State Warriors team
right.
here where you're just like, can anyone beat them?
Sure.
I don't feel like that's the case with Denver.
Sure. I feel that way a little bit with Denver. They just feel so
too.
Inevitable right now.
You do too?
Yeah.
They just feel like down 20 in the second half against the Lakers, and it's just this methodical churn. Everybody knows it's going to happen. Then Jamal Murray, buzzer, ball game. Just, man.
I feel like even like if you look at the West is really good. This is a really, really strong mm-hmm. West. I think they're just going to saw through everybody.
Really?
And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. But the way I look at that team is that there is a certain confidence to them and a certain, like what you said, an inevitability to them that you're like, oh,
and
like,
maybe
who's going to stop them?
And maybe that's the one thing with them that I'm not as tapped into as I should be is the confidence level. Because when you win a championship – and you get right back to the, mm-hmm. you know, the playoffs and you were, you know, competing for the one seed all year. One slip up at the end of the year probably cost you the
yep.
one seed or no, probably about it. It cost you the one seed. And you get in there and you have that game that you had against the Lakers the other night. Yeah, mm-hmm. there's a lot that goes into that. It's not just the shot making and the executing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the message in the huddle like, we're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go take care of business. One possession, all the cliches, right?
They're just cliches
because they work. Like
right.
one possession at a time, one stop at a time, one basket at a time, all that stuff. I can see that team completely buying into that.
Yeah.
We don't need 10 stops to get back into this game.
Yeah.
We need one.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get a basket.
And then a bucket.
And then we need another stop.
Yeah.
And I can see that them, you know, operating like that. If we don't get the stop on that one, we get the stop on the next one.
Yeah.
And that is a... You know, great teams have that level of confidence. Like, you know, watching Boston last night, you wonder sometimes, do they lack confidence? Like, is Miami a team that just lives in their head?
Yeah.
You look at Denver last, and Denver might be a team that just lives in Los Angeles's head.
Yeah.
But they, you're James 100% right. They have a level of confidence to them that could very well separate them from everyone else in the conference.
Although I will say, we got like 30 seconds here. I will say that the Timberwolves beating the Suns the way they did on a night where Ant scored 15
mm-hmm.
is very impressive.
Yeah.
I did not think they had that in their bag.
Yeah, that's a team. Yeah, you talk about it. They might just walk right through Phoenix. But that's a team I'm really curious to see what happens to them as they go further along.
Yeah, me too. All right. D'Lo and KC coming up next. James, great job today. NFL draft begins tonight at 4:00, right after D'Lo and KC, and they're giving away $500 for you.
Facts.
That's coming up as well. Stay tapped into ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center. Blue.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.